We're going to look at starting in chapter 4. And we're looking at Esther this morning as an example of submission. An example of submission. We talked about in Sunday school the four building blocks for our Christian character. It starts with our parents and then our friends. And then the last thing we looked at was the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to, in order for Him to work in our lives, we need to submit to Him. But we're looking at the Queen Esther. She wasn't the queen to start with, but she became the queen. And she's an example of submission. Let's turn to Esther chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And it came when the king's gate, for none might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth, and in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maid and her chamberlain came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. And Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasurers for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, and to show it unto Esther, to declare it unto him, unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people." Now Queen Esther was a Jew, and she was in amongst the ladies that the king kept for future queens. And we early on we read that Vashti, she would not honor the king, and she was taken out of her place. And Esther happened to be picked to become the next queen. And he was wanting her to make supplication, to go in and request before the king for her people, because there was a great slaughter going on because of Haman. So Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai. "And all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. So this is a thing that Mordecai wanted her to go on behalf of her people and request to the king for relief. That's what he was seeking. But she sends word back to him, if anybody goes into the king without being called, then he has the right to be put to death, whoever it might be. Basically, you can't just stomp into the king's chambers anytime you want. There's not free access. And that's what she was telling Mordecai. And then we see in verse 13, it says, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Basically, he's saying, don't think about yourself. Think about your people. Look out past yourself here. He says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days and night or day, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. She come to the conclusion that no matter what, she was going to go in and see the king. Now, she was the queen. But she still had to have be granted to come in. But she finally took the initiative, and she says, get all the Jews together and start praying. And me and my maidens will do the same. And basically, in so many words, she was willing to do what was necessary. And she says, if I perish, I perish. At least I tried to do what was necessary. Then we see there the next verse, verse 17, chapter 4. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up, nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called all of his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. Tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king, yet at all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. And then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that the Mordecai may be hanged thereon, and then go thou and merrily with the king unto the banquet. And then and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. But Haman couldn't wait. He was so full of himself and so excited, thinking he's going to be praised. And instead, it says in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the books of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And then there was a time when Mordecai had warned the king of these two people that were going to harm the king, and he was never honored. And so the king called forth and asked if he had been honored, and they said no. But in verse 4 it says, and the king says, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him in, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? And of course, you know what Haman was thinking. He was thinking the king wanted to honor him. because he'd been brought in singly. So Haman, with those thoughts in mind, thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than myself, than to myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one in the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on a horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai. Boy, what would that do to a man? It would ruin his day permanently. He says, now I got to honor the man I hate. But that's the way God works. So we see here in the story of Esther, we read and we realize that she was put in such a place like this, at an opportunity like this, to help the Jews for such a time as this. And she come to the conclusion, she says, if I perish, I perish. She's going to go in regardless. She's there to help her people. One of the things we want to look at here, in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 15, it says, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, a soft tongue breaketh the bone. We look at the principle of appealing to authority. And that's exactly what Esther was doing here. She was appealing to the authority that was in her life at the time. And through this story, we can see that. And we're going to look at some things. We're going to look at some what the Scripture says about authorities in our lives. We're going to look at several different passages. And then we're going to go on and look at Esther's life and see how we can apply these things. So Queen Esther appealed to her husband, the king, in order to stop the wicked plot of Haman. Okay? Haman didn't realize that the gallows were going to be used for him. He built his own death sentence. But the question I want to pose to you, how should I act when someone in authority is wrong or is about to make a bad decision? How do we act? So we're going to see what the Scripture has to say. We all have God-appointed authorities over our lives. No matter who we are, there are authorities that God had placed in our lives that it talks about in the Scriptures. The first area we're going to see is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And again, we're honoring mothers, so we're focusing on the ladies, but there are some things here that apply to the men as well. And so we need to hear what God has to say in His Word. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. And again, this is just, again, we're looking at the principle of authorities in our life. Okay, we're just going through what the Scripture has to say. We're starting at verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That applies to all of us. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So this is God appointed. This is what God has said in His Word about the wives and how they're to submit to their husbands. And that all started because of what Eve did in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, because of the fall. One other scripture I want to look at here is 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This just goes along with Ephesians. There's several other verses we can look at, but for sake of time, we're going to keep moving. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. And I wanted to bring that up because there are many situations that come along, and And more so, I would say, probably ladies marrying men that they shouldn't be marrying, but maybe the lady's saved and she married a man that's worldly and he's not saved. And through her life, no matter what goes on there, she's married, okay? It's supposed to be permanent. It's a lifelong covenant. Covenants aren't to be broken, okay? Wives are to obey their husbands, okay? But how does she supposed to act when her husband is about ready to either make a wrong mistake or to make a bad decision? How is she to respond to that? And that's why we want to go through the scripture here. It also says in Ephesians 6:1, it talks about children are to obey their parents. So children are to be obedient to their parents. That's what God has placed in a child's life, their parents. And it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6, 5 through 8, it deals with our employees. Employees are to obey their employers. Whoever you work for, you're to listen to them. That's according to what God says in His Word. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And even through that, through how we work for people, and there's many people that are saved that go to work for lost people, they have an opportunity to win them to Christ through our lives. But the Bible says we need to obey them. We need to be, we're supposed to be under their authority. And then also in Romans chapter 13, this applies to everybody, that citizens are to obey their government. Now, there are some stipulations here, but in chapter 13, verses 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then it goes on to tell them, if we do evil, they have the authority to punish us. That's the God-given authority. That's why there's government. That's why there's a legal system put in place for that purpose. God ordained that. But then we see in Galatians chapter 4, and again, we're just briefly touching these to show you what God's Word has to say. But Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, students are to obey their teachers. Or we, you know, when you're being taught by somebody, you need to be obedient to that person that you're under their authority. In verse 1 and 2, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth neither from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So there's a certain time students of any kind, whether they're children or teens or college students, it doesn't matter. You're under certain authorities, depending on where you're at. That's God ordained. And then the last thing in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and then verse 17. He says, remember them which who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then we see in verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The last part of it, our authorities in our lives is, as church members, is to be under the authority of the pastor. He's the local pastor. He's the under-shepherd. Christ is the great shepherd, and we're here to try to encourage people for spiritual growth and to continue on. And the pastor has the authority over the church, the local church. So all of these delegated authorities are to be obeyed. Whether we like their commands or agree with their commands or understand their commands, the only exception is when their commands would cause us to violate the authority of God. That's the only time that we step out of line and say, oh, no, we can't do that. Just like when the apostles were told not to preach Christ, but they did it anyway because they had a command from God which went over the men's demand. It was trumped. And when God tells us to do something and when they violate the authority of God, then that's when we step aside. And we see this in Acts chapter 5. We can take a look at it real quick. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. 5 and verse 29 says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" See, they were trying to get them to stop preaching. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They did not like what they heard. They did not want to hear what they heard. But we got to remember this. When we take a stand for the truth, there's a cost. There's a cost. There's consequences that we're going to have to face. So make sure when you take a stand for something that's right, make sure it's of God and not of the devil. Make sure it's of God, because God will take care of you through it. He's going to stand with you. Just like he did Daniel, just like he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, just like he did with Paul when the ship was about ready to shipwreck, and he stood with them then. And throughout the scriptures, time and time again, it also says throughout Joseph's life in Genesis that the Lord was with him, and he did that which was right. He did what was right the day he was in Potiphar's house, and she tried to get him to lay with her. There was no men in the house, and she accused him. He went to prison for nothing. He ran. His coat was left there. He spent 2 years in prison for nothing, but God still blessed his life. He had some consequences to face. We just need to simply trust God. Just like Esther says, "If I perish, I perish." We need not to be scared of the world. We need not to have a fear of man, because God is in control. Now, there may be some things that we don't want to go through sometimes, but God promises he'll never leave us nor forsake us. The question is, what can I do when someone in authority over me makes a bad, unwise, or a totally irresponsible decision? And I'm referring to King Ahasuerus, because before Esther was, Haman came into King Ahasuerus and he signed some decree to slaughter the Jews. He really didn't pay attention to all the details or realize what was going on. And he did it. Let's go back to Esther chapter 3, and we could see. And it was Haman was behind it all, trying to destroy the Jews. And he gave Haman his ring to seal the letters that went out. And the people, the Jews were being slaughtered. That's when Mordecai came to Esther to urge her to go into the king. We see in chapter 3 and verse 8 through 11, it says, "And Haman said unto the king Ahasuerus, 'This is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the law, king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them.'" So he was lying to the king, because they weren't really doing anything wrong. But it says, "If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries." And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agite, the Jews' enemy. He made a bad decision. The king did. See, he hadn't taken time to consider all the facts. But then we came to the point to where Mordecai came and sent to Esther and said, "Hey, you need to go into the king and get this changed. You need to go in and fight for your people." And we see in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall they their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I truly believe that Esther was at the right time, at the right place. God had allowed her to be there. So what should she do? So we wanted some things that we wanted to consider here. We want to see Esther's appeal to authority. What did Esther do when she appealed for that authority? We read it. We read the chapters already. Well, the first thing she did is she committed the whole matter and herself to God. She committed it to him. We see there in verse 16, it says, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish." She committed herself to God. She spent time praying and asking the Jews to pray. So there was prayer and fasting were the first recourse. Okay? And see, all selfish motives were denied. She denied herself. She wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about her people. And that's when she finally declared, "If I perish, I perish. At least I could try to do what's right." And that's where we need to come in our lives as Christians, is we need to come to the point to we need to go out and be bold witnesses. We need to hand out tracts. And if there's consequences, there are consequences. But we need to do what God asks us to do. We need to be obedient to him. But we see there in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, not only did she commit herself to the Lord, but she showed herself respectful. Even though she didn't agree with what took place against the Jews, the king had ordered it, he didn't consider all the facts and truth, but she showed herself respectful. In verse 1 and 2, it says, "It came and passed on the third day that Esther put her royal apparel on and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter." She did exactly. She showed respect to the king. She didn't come in and show him disrespect. She didn't come in nagging or verbally abuse him for this counterproductive thing that he had ordered. She showed him respect, whether she agreed with what was going on or not. Let's go to Proverbs. Keep your finger in Esther. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 13. It says, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father. The contentions of a wife are a continual dropping." And then we see in chapter 25 and verse of Proverbs 25:24. It says, "It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house." And then, of course, we see in chapter 27, verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron." See, she showed herself respectful. She didn't come in and disrespect the king. And then we also see there in verses 3, chapter 5 of Esther, verses 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, she practiced forbearance. She was patient. She wasn't in a hurry. She wanted to let things take their course. She practiced forbearance. She didn't bring the matter up right away because she was in the process of showing the king respect. She waited and prayed for God to open up the right opportunity for her to speak. She waited for God to work a miracle, in which he did. See, that's sometimes we have a hard time doing when we pray about something. We need to continually be diligent about prayer, but we fail to be await. How many times have we prayed for something or been praying for something and we get discontent in our situation? We allow ourselves to persist and we end up getting into a mess if we would have just waited. Just right around the corner, God had the answer for our problem. He was going to take care of it, but we get impatient. Esther showed she practiced forbearance. She prayed, she waited. See, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. And see, we need to wait on God. But the next thing she did, she practiced softness. We see that in verse 5. It says, then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. She practiced softness. She did something nice for her husband. She prepared him a banquet. She did not give him the silent treatment. She did not throw a temper tantrum. She did not threaten him. She did not withhold herself from him. She did something nice for him, even though he did what he did. She practiced softness. Another thing she did is she practiced respectfulness. We see in chapter 7 of Esther, verses 2 through 6. It says, and the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I would have held my tongue. Although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he? Where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. She showed respectfulness. She sought to please the king. We see that in verse 3. She did not make demands, but respectfully requested. She sought to protect the king from damage. And she gave him reasons to change his mind. She went through the whole situation and she explained everything. And she brought it to his attention. See, there's three responses to Esther's right actions. See, God worked out three miracles for Esther. The king held out the royal scepter. He gave her permission to enter into the court. Mordecai's good deed was remembered and Haman's plot was foiled. We see that. And then we see the Jews were spared from total annihilation. See, God blessed these efforts. So what do you think would have happened if Esther did like so many wives do today when they don't like or agree with their husband's decisions? What do you think would have happened if she would have responded in that way? I don't think it would have ended up as well as it did. But then we see the principle of appeal. According to Proverbs 25:15, an authority figure's heart, mind, and decisions can be changed by two things. Forbearing, and that's determined patience, waiting for God's timing. See, sometimes we get in a hurry, don't we? And then, softness, seeking out the best for one in authority. We come to them with a softness. See, Esther's first response was to give it over to the Lord, and then she followed the principle of appeal. We cannot expect God to do what only He can do until we have done first what we should do. There's some things in how we respond. We should respond. He gives us these instructions through His Word. So we see that. So what can we learn from Esther? Well, we can learn from the simple fact she committed the whole matter to God first. And that's what we need to do as God's children. We need to come to God and commit our issues, our problems to Him. She showed herself respectful. And no matter how hard it is for us to hold our tongue sometimes, we need to show respect to those that are in authority. She practiced forbearance. She had patience. She waited not only to God to open the right opportunity, but she waited for God to work out the miracle. She practiced softness. What does the Bible say? Something about a soft answer. When we come to all of how you have somebody come up to you that's in a rage and has a problem or something, and if you come back to them and give them a soft answer, what does that do? It usually diffuses the situation in most cases. All in how we respond will determine the outcome. And then she practiced respectfulness. She didn't come in demanding things, but she respectfully requested. And this is how I believe we ought to. And God blessed her for it. And a nation was saved because she went in and was determined to do what was right. Are we willing to determine to do what's right no matter what? No matter what comes our way? No matter how things... We live in a day today that's uncertain. We live in a day today we don't know what's going to come next. But we do know one thing: God's in control. We do know one thing, that we can trust Him. And He's going to keep us. He promises to. He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, He's our foundation. He's our strong tower. He's the place of our refuge. We can come to Him if we only wait on Him. If we only just wait on His timing and not try to force something. Every time I've ever dealt with anything in my life, if buying a car, going out and doing something, or trying to get a decision on a job or anything, if I forced the issue, guess what? I usually ended up in a mess. But if I allow things to take their course, it always seems, if it was God's will for my life, He worked it out. And that's the way it works. So we can learn a lot from Queen Esther on how to respond to those in authority in our lives. Because there's people of authority at all different levels in our lives. And how we respond to them, even when they may not make a good decision. Maybe something needs to be brought to their attention. But it doesn't pay to go in and chew somebody out for something that they maybe know nothing about. Or maybe they didn't realize. A soft answer. Think about that. If somebody comes to you in a haste, and you give them a soft answer, it diffuses that situation. We can learn a lot from Queen Esther if we just apply these truths to our own lives. Let's pray.